welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black, and we are back, and we are playing with power. Ryan, hello. It's been a couple of weeks, my friend, since I last saw you through the screen. I'm happy to see you, and we took a two-week break, and, you know, Ryan and I were just talking about, you know, it's, again, maybe that's... I don't know. We're kind of figuring the new format to the show out as we go. And, you know, I think it's healthy for us to have a couple breaks. Where in the past, it was go. No, we don't. We cannot miss a week. It's important that we don't. You know what? We will miss some weeks here and there. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. Who knows? Life is busy. And sometimes, you know, we just need a break. Because, you know, if we're finally out of freedom and we've been so busy, why would we want to record on the weekend? You know what I mean? So, you may see that happen here and there. But overall, this is not a Mario deep dive. We finally got through that. Again, Ryan, you did a great job up leading the charge on that. Thank you so much. And Ryan and I, for this week, we wanted to make it short, make it simple for you. And then we just wanted to, really, we haven't talked much gaming news, right, Ryan? Like, so much has happened in recent times, and, you know, to our listeners, I guess this is maybe older news, you know, and unless something happens right now while we're recording. Just wanted to talk about state of gaming, how things are in 2024 from the industry standpoint and where Nintendo is and where we think they're going. This would be normally like a New Year's Eve episode, I think. Normally we talk about like going into the new year, what to expect or not, but I thought that would be appropriate, you know, not covering a game or any music episodes or anything like that. This is just a discussion episode. And then moving forward, you guys can expect, some traditional Nintendo nostalgia like episodes where we dive into a game and we try to revisit that nostalgia and cover the history of it and the emotions and the feelings that we had. I am excited to do that. You know, that's what this show originally was founded and rooted on, and I'm excited to get back to those. But today, this is what we're doing. Before we do that, we have got to get into what we have been radical rexing about. And Ryan, why don't you start us off, my friend? What have you been radical rexing about as of late?
Oh, gosh. I've been really, really tempted to get into this latest craze that people are talking about. Some kind of like roguelike poker game. The podcasts and news review sites are all raving about right now. Apparently it's got a really cool hook. But I just got off of a roguelite game with Splatoon 3 with the DLC, the Side Order, and I've completely exhausted it, except for like buying the extra like bonus items. Like, I've gotten all of the upgrades, all three upgrades for each item, and, you know, I've gone through all of that. I've unlocked all of the hacks or whatever, and, you know, I just kind of went through all of that and thoroughly exhausted without having to go through and try to collect a bunch of points just to get all the little extras here or there. I bought a couple banners that I wanted and got the gear pretty much, but I didn't feel the need to try to get everything. But yeah, I went through every single tower, I went to the tower with every single weapon and beat that sometimes multiple times with a weapon. I completed all of that. I got a game that's, it's called, Geometry Survivor. It's definitely like a roguelite, style game, but it's like Geometry Wars. Super simple, super fun. Really, it's got that popping color, that neon colors that the Geometry Wars series has. It's not officially Geometry Wars, but mm-hmm. you know, it's still pretty fun. And then I just recently started giving Earthbound another chance. You know, with all of this people talking about Mother 3, you know, being in the Japanese eShop and everything, I'm like, I'm going to give Earthbound a full chance. Now that I've done Sea of Stars, it's kind of my intro to doing RPGs that are 2D. I started playing, you know, this Earthbound game, and it's starting to get its hooks in me. It's not quite the must have experience for me to like want to stick with it like a 3D RPG, but I'm still feeling it. It's pretty cool. I'm currently in the Happy Village, taking down some cultists who paint things blue, apparently. But you know, so not super far in, but I'm kind of basically working in chapter two of the game with Tucson, and I'm enjoying it. Just to learn the mechanics, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be a super long game. I could be wrong, but you know, they might have their plot twist, you know, with everything. But yeah, I'm actually enjoying it this time around, and I'm toying with the idea once I finish up Earthbound, going into the Japanese, NSO Japanese app for Super Nintendo, and trying to just use a translator to go through Mother 3 and experience that for the first time. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm definitely radical rexing about Earthbound as a whole. I'm trying to think if there's any other games that I've been playing, really. That's mostly taken up my time. I've been doing a little bit of Disney Dreamlight Valley here or there with the new DLC that dropped. Yeah, I've taken a break pretty much on Pokemon Go and Duel Links. But speaking of Duel Links, I'm really radical rexing about the fact that there's a new Pokemon, you know, trading card game Pocket app coming. Mm-hmm. It's basically Duel Links, mm-hmm. but Pokemon version. And looking mm-hmm. forward to that. I'm totally going to leave Duel Links in the dust for Pokemon for a while. And I hope my friends join on with me and we'll have a good old time. So, yeah.
Cool.
What about you, man?
I'm glad you asked. I mean, I think, you know, nothing crazy new has been like on my plate, but you know, for some reason, I've just been bitten by a nostalgic bug, and I've been hopping back between, James Bond GoldenEye 007, and Pokemon Snap. And yeah. And I guess it's modern, or is it nostalgic now? But I've started a new file on Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze that I'm playing through with Lindsay.
Nice.
So like just earlier this week, one night I felt good. I felt kind of like a kid and getting a couple games for Christmas because I devoted a good chunk of time to all three games in one night.
Nice.
And made significant progress in all of them. And
good for you.
You know. Yeah, thanks. I thought it was fun. Sometimes I'm torn on like, you know, I should be playing these games or the backlog, and I keep it hush hush sometimes in our chat because Kyle Martin, our artist, he would just give me crap for playing old games that I've already beaten instead of playing something new or my backlog.
Oh yeah, he straight up busts your balls, man. Like he's
oh,
ruthless.
He always does. So I haven't really talked about it in our Nosh group chat. But it's I don't know, the way I kind of approach video games is if I'm feeling it, I feel it. You know, like if I all of a sudden just kind of get bored with GoldenEye again, I'll probably stop. And I need to. Life is too short to force myself to play a game that I'm not really feeling it right now. You know, mm-hmm. like honestly, I have Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC that I could play. But I know it's an investment. I know it's something that I got to get tied into because it's a story-driven game. And I just played 7 so much, and I loved every bit of it. But it's just like, you know, I need to put it down. I played Crisis Core, played the remake, and then I tried to play original 7 on fast mode, and I have gotten beyond where I was, you know, where that 7 ends off remake. And but, you know, I was just kind of like, you know, I'm just not feeling it. And I think to truly enjoy a game for what it's worth, you have to be feeling it. That's how you have the magic for a game. If you force yourself through a game, I think you are robbing yourself of truly enjoying the game for what it is really offering.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You know, because like when GoldenEye came out on NOS, I was very excited, very hyped. I jumped right in. I played almost the entire main agent level of the game, and then I just stopped. I got to a point where I was like, okay, you know, I've played it a lot, I've kind of had my feed, and I didn't really go back. And then all of a sudden Recently, I was just like looking through the games, and I went in there, saw my progress. I'm like, I want to finish this. And then I finished the main campaign for Agent. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm like, I really want to. I never as a kid unlocked those last two levels. If you played GoldenEye 007, you know what I'm talking about. There's two levels that are blacked out at the very end. And you, in order to do that, you have to go back and beat Secret Agent and 00 Agent. And I'm going back and doing it, and I'm succeeding. But yes, a little bit of save states are helping me. Don't get me wrong, I do save state. I'm really thankful for a world that we have save states. Mm-hmm. It allows me to just put in to do things that I normally just wouldn't pursue because I don't have the time anymore to just like constantly die and try again. Now, I will say, for the most part, I don't use them often. I have a handful of times, but overall, I feel like I'm making the progress in these harder modes on my own, which is good for me. You know, I don't like using handicaps or looking up how to do things very often, so. But I, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at with things. I'm playing that, and I put on Pokemon Snap. I wasn't even intending to put on Pokemon Snap, and I was just, I don't know, I was just showing Lindsay the game, and I kind of got addicted again, and I thought it was fun, so there's just so much you can do, and it makes me sad that I traded in, you know, the sequel, because I kind of want to go back to that on the Switch now, too.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I don't think Snap 2 has near the charm that Snap 1 does. Do you?
If you take your time with it, it's got a bit of a different feel to it, but I think that the charm is there. When I was trying to play it, I wasn't in the mood for it, and so mm-hmm. I wasn't picking up on the charm. But as I've gone back a couple of times when I felt kind of in the mood, I started seeing that charm. And so, like, it's really built to be played, like, a little bit, and then you come back later, and then you play through it again, because I didn't feel like I wanted to go through the same level over and over and over again to get the next stage with all the new stuff. And so, like, if I just take it, like, a little bit at a time, you know, and do it that way, then I feel like I'm getting somewhere, but I don't feel like it's a chore having to go through the same level each time and try to do different things, you know, for each season or whatever. So
I like Snap, and I'm so happy Snap 2 exists. And honestly, I hope Snap can be a regular series that they visit. You know, I would love more. There are so many Pokemon now. There is just an unlimited amount of things that they could do for Snap sequels.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fun, different way of catching Pokemon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so I've been enjoying Snap. I've been enjoying that. And then, Tropical Freeze, man. Every time I play that game, I'm just mesmerized by the graphics, and I'm mesmerized by the music. The game takes me away, mm-hmm. and I can't believe it's been out for 10 years now.
Can't believe we don't have a follow-up title.
Yeah, don't get me started. I don't know why, but that music, as soon as you just like, there's not a better feeling when we go from being on the land and the music's playing, and then you jump into the water, and all of a sudden the water just changes into the slow, ambient, beautiful version of the song that's playing above, and it's just like, it takes me back to 2014 when that game first came out. And maybe we won't do it, I won't talk too much about it, because I feel like this could be a great game to talk about later on in the year, mm-hmm. Especially when it's summertime, whatever. But I just love this game. It takes me back, and it's kind of depressing that, like, I'm getting very nostalgic for a time that happened when I was already an adult.
Yeah.
Like, that game came out and I was 23. I'm 33. And I'm nostalgic for that era, where I was in life at that era. But yet, you know, when we're actually in that era, we don't appreciate where we are in life.
Yeah.
And 10 years from when I'm 43, I'm sure I'll be saying the same thing about being 33. And it's sad, but
it just happens, you know, like but I'm glad that you're able to get some quality time in now and feel accomplished. Because that's really like a big thing about playing video games is like you don't want to be playing a video game feel like you're getting nowhere, because it's supposed to be your escape from life where you feel like you're not getting anywhere. So like when you feel like you're progressing in video games, it helps to feel that, to feel that need that you have to feel productive when things aren't always as productive as you'd hope for in real life. Especially like for me and my ADHD brain, like sometimes I go to that, and not to use it as a crutch necessarily to be the only form of dopamine you get, but it is nice to have some progress with that.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to Radical Rex about?
I mean, last but not least, I mean, just waiting on the baby, you know, the baby. I'm almost to spring break with school. Tomorrow's my last day, and then I'm on spring break. But the baby could be here any day. I mean, I personally think my wife is further along. I think her body is ready to deliver the baby sooner than the due date by just how things are lining up. I mean, it could be wrong, you know, babies come when they want, but I kind of think the baby will be here before its due date, which is the 23rd of March initially. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we're just excited, just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I cannot wait to welcome in one more child into this world and with the baby's mom. And I just think it's going to be fun and beautiful. So
awesome.
That's all I'm radical rexing about right now.
I have one more thing I want to radical expect. I almost forgot about it. It was literally sitting behind me on my chair because I didn't want to forget about it. And I forgot to say it. But I popped into Goodwill last week and just sitting on the toy shelf, like on the bottom toy shelf with a bunch of other toys, was this full complete inbox Nintendo Labo VR starter set with Blaster. And it had all the parts in it, the plastic parts for the lenses, the cardboard, everything. Nothing's been folded. It's all been punched out, but nothing was folded or built. So, like, I was able to get another complete set for the VR headset so that multiple people in my household can experience that. I got to get another headset for it or another head strap for it. But, we can do the VR experience. And if one of them gets crushed or dirty or something, you know, we've got a backup. So it's really cool to come by that. And we spent like, what was it? It was like $5, something like that. $8, something like really cheap.
Wow. That's insane. Those were expensive.
Yeah. It was a really, really cool find. And it's.
What a weird time. There. You don't even see those in stores anymore.
I know, right? Like, why is it a Goodwill and selling for so cheap? Like, but, you know, it was a really cool find.
Like, I mean, when the Labo came out, man, it was like, I don't know. They put it out and they put it in store shelves and it was there for like 6 months and then it like disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't think it sold nearly as well as Nintendo had hoped. Which,
To
individuals like you, yes, but I don't think as the masses, I mean, I never bought one.
Yeah.
I just didn't want a bunch of cardboard around, and I got animals and kids and all that hard work. I mean, it's not easy. It's a lot of work. It takes hours to put, like, the piano one together.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm not going to do that just for my kid to play with it and freaking break it right away.
I actually just got it's a game called Demo Reborn, and it uses the Labo piano. You can play with the piano on that. It's basically a rhythm-based game, but you can use the piano to play that. And I thought that was be kind of cool to try. I thought it had Labo VR functionality, but it doesn't look like it does. So, but I'm enjoying it. It's a really beautiful looking game. There's not a lot to it. There's like only a few rooms that you go through. But graphically it's really pretty. The atmosphere is really pretty. I've been enjoying just the existence of VR and Nintendo, hoping that the new Switch successor will have VR capabilities. Fingers crossed on that one, but we'll see.
We'll see. Well, that's a great segue. I mean, talking about the next Switch, well, we want, again, I said at the top of the show, we really just kind of want to take a moment, catch up on all the news that has already been talked about. You know, we're not saying anything new here, but would like to just have a discussion about it. You know, like the state of gaming in general and Nintendo and the future of the Switch 2. And let's talk about it, Ryan. The state of gaming 2024.
I think we should bring up just straight off the top of the elephant in the gaming industry right now, and that is all of the layoffs that are happening. You know, Nintendo doesn't have any of those layoffs reported right now. You know, there's just a bunch of companies are laying off. Others are becoming independent studios to get away from being closed down. You know, just there's industry wide, there's a bunch of layoffs, you know, fallout from 2020 and them needing people on board, you know, to get all these AAA games cranked out. And as a result, like a lot of these AAA games, like AAA is threatened. It's not going to be a video game crash like back in the Atari days, but it is very much like kind of the resetting of expectations and the resetting of the biggest, most expensive video game AAA title, you know, and starting to get maybe some shorter titles that have the better quality to them instead of just the same game with a couple of new mechanics here or there, but, you know, just a completely different experience. It will give companies more development time, hopefully. I mean, with those, I guess not all of them are having skeleton crews, but, you know, they've cut down a lot on their workforce. And so hopefully those people who did lose their job can get, you know, more jobs. But we're very much faced with, like, 2023 was an action-packed year for, like, a bunch of Game of the Year contenders. Like, it was just awesome for all gaming. And so following this, like, the bubble bursts and a bunch of people are getting let go. And, you know, they're trying to prune off all of this, you know, to write off things on their taxes for businesses. So there's a lot of business industry stuff going on here that's reshaping the landscape of what video game is going to be in the future. And it's kind of an unknown factor. And Nintendo is pretty much the same. Like, it's the same, just the bastion for developers, like people who work there, just work there pretty much for life. Like the CEO and everybody will cut their pay, you know, to keep their workers on and keep the morale up instead of just letting people go. And so like Nintendo's just doing its own thing. It's continuing on. It's really cool to see. You know, I like that they have a Japanese company that has that. It has been reported that Nintendo is now the most profitable company in Japan.
Yep.
So that's what Amazing. we're kind of set up with. So let's kind of hear a bit from you on what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've read. I mean, you have a little bit of more experience on like economy and things like that. And I just kind of want to hear what your thoughts are on the landscape in general, like following from all these people getting let go from different gaming companies and, you know, the ever looming. The new console is going to come out. The old console is being retired. It's at the end of its life. You know, there's a lot of claims being made and a lot of rumors. So let's kind of sift through that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's all sad. And I think it's terrible that people are losing their jobs. However, I will say nothing. There's no support at all about people who had to lose their job. Sad. I hate it. It's very terrible. Now, I will say for gaming industry as a whole, though, I like that AAA studios are kind of being humbled right now.
Yeah, I feel that.
I feel like AAA studios like Ubisoft, EA, Activision, all these gaming companies, Blizzard, in the past, really, they've been allowed to do this the past 10 to 20 years. Their britches have gotten so big and, they do crap like a WB. We just saw in our group chat today about they're talking about how like, oh, Arkham Knights did like whatever terrible or something like that, whatever they put out recently, or I'm not sure what game it was called. It was an Arkham game. But
it's not the collection, was it? Or was it the,
no, it's like the
Kill the Justice League one. Or
yeah. Something like
it
that.
It was the games as a service.
Yes, and then they're like, "We're doubling down on this, even though it's
failed." I know that's ridiculous that they're sticking to their guns, but it is, you know, the studio that it, or the company that it is. We can expect that negative press to come from them.
Correct. You know, what's another company? Ubisoft. You know, they're putting out games, and then like they're having to drop the price almost immediately, you know, when they don't sell as well as they thought they would. You know, even PlayStation themselves, they they're one of the competitors when it comes to hardware, but Nintendo's really the only one that makes their own like in-house first party game, you know? And Sony is cutting back and firing studios, like you mentioned, and they're firing people, and Microsoft is letting people go because they're not selling the way they were. And I think, you know, a video game should not cost as much as it is costing them to make games. And Nintendo can make games that are 5 times better than the majority of these third-party companies, and they don't even do half the fraction of how much it costs, you know, to do this.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said. I think third-party companies overall, I think they're greedy. I think they try to cut corners, and they try to microtransaction you, and they try to, not all of them, but this is a lot of stuff that we see. And I think that when we had the Super Nintendo and we had the Nintendo 64 and the original, like, we got smaller bite-sized games for 13, 20 hours, and they were packed full of content and a fun adventure and a good story and great music. And then you'll get something that is half-baked, and then they release a beta of it. And then, like, you know, it's not until 5 years later the final, like, version of the game is officially done. And a lot of people have already moved on, but then, like, those people are getting the official good version of the game, whereas the starters just kind of got a half-baked game. And, you know, I think this will be great. It's kind of like the Marvel thing. You know, Marvel's putting out so much content over and over, and then the quality was going down. People complained, and people have not been as high on Marvel in recent times. I think this will do the same for AAA gaming. I would much prefer they make smaller games. I mean, Ubisoft, they have Rayman, one of the greatest platformers of all time, just sitting in their pocket, and they do absolutely nothing with him. Why is that? Because they're so focused on these heavier, bigger hitter games.
Yeah,
they're scale it back.
Their Skull and Bones, or whatever the pirate game is that they're really focused on right now. Like, you know, that's like their big thing. It's like, can we just get like?
And it's getting reviewed terribly. Like, everyone talks so much crap about it.
It's a wonder. I do think that video games are a heck of a deal. Especially if you're buying AAA games and you're getting something for $60-$70, that's a heck of a deal for how much money goes into that. So it'll be interesting to see these AAA companies produce games at the same value, but give us more value. Or are they just going to give us the same half-baked crap because they've got less teams to work on it, and, you know, they've got the same like time windows they have to get the games done in, but with less people, and they're still going to expect people to shell out $70 for a game or something. Like, that's the mm-hmm. question. And Nintendo is not to be excluded from this pricing thing. Like, Nintendo has been good about releasing quality games, yes, but they've been good about releasing DLC for their successful games, which is great. But when they release something like a sports game like Mario Strikers, and then they don't fix a lot of things that people had problems with, they just release the game and that's it. It felt half-baked. Like, there's not really any game modes to it. It's just what it is. You know, there's a couple of sports games that fell under that radar.
I mean, and let's be fair, Nintendo has done that too with their own sports games. I'm not going to sit here and say Nintendo has been perfect, but
we'll probably get Kirby games that are just kind of half-baked. Right now we're getting ports, and that's fine. Like, those games are tried and true. They're getting, you know, an upgrade, and they look prettier, and mm-hmm. those things work instead of us getting kind of lackluster stuff. And we were vocal as a community when Nintendo did release, you know, half-baked games. We did, like, the Mario Tennis game for Switch. Like, it got better over time with DLC, and it became a game worth buying. And some of the newer sports titles that they released, they didn't do the same to that. And people are saying, oh, it's a shame they never did anything with that, because as it stands right now, there's just not enough there to keep me coming back and playing. And so, like, Nintendo is not excluded from that, but we have to ask, like, is Nintendo going to be doing that going forward? Are they going to be, you know, giving us the good quality they just released a game that was $70 with Tears of the Kingdom. You know, like, they deemed it was worth that to make profit on the game, which, okay, I can see that. I would say I would have rather spent $70 on Breath of the Wild, but also at the time, you know, people would not have heard that whatsoever and would have been like, oh, Switch is awful because it's so expensive. So maybe they are doing a little bit of recoup the cost on what they've given us, you know, over two games with that extra price hike on the second game. And that one does feel like an upgrade, but still the same mechanics and everything. So, you know, look at it as a single package. You're getting two games for whatever the price is that you probably should have spent more on. But it's just the question, what do we do? Where is Nintendo going to go from here? And the industry as a whole, we've got a new system. What does that look like? Is it going to be backwards compatible? Many people on podcasts and news media that I've been keeping up with say, like, it has to have backwards compatibility. And I feel that, and it has to have the portability factor. It's got to be the Switch, you know. It's got to be handheld and handheld and dockable on the TV. Just what new experiences do we have coming? You know, is Nintendo going to give fair treatment and the due diligence put into their games going forward? They haven't lost any steam as far as developers and people on the projects. They're not really like letting people go in mass or anything like the others. It remains to be seen if that's going to happen at all. Most likely not. Mm-hmm. But we don't know the Nintendo now from the Nintendo that was, you know, under Iwata. But where are we going to be looking at? What areas should we keep an eye on as we go through the rest of this year? Do we look to the quality of the titles that come out in these next few quarters? Like, should we look at the announcements? Like, what price do you put on Metroid Prime 4, you know, that's been in development for so many years, that's probably cost a ton of money for the company? Are they going to, you know, drop that at $70? And is that going to be negative on the image for Metroid? Or, you know, are they going to just get people hyped up for Metroid by releasing these remasters, you know, like Prime 1 and everything? And that will build up to when we finally get Metroid Prime 4. Again, we're getting a lot of ports, and it's really cool to see some of these games come out. And we got just recently a partner direct. You know, we didn't get a main, like, here's what's coming for Nintendo, you know, like, here's first party stuff. We didn't get that.
No.
And so Nintendo is playing their cards close. I almost feel like recently Sony came out and they're like, oh, you know, the PS5 is starting to get into a sunset. It's starting to sunset, you know, it's starting to get to the end of its life. I feel like that was more of a ploy to get Nintendo to reveal their hand. Like, oh, we got to rush to put out the Switch, you know, or the new Switch so that we're in that pocket before the new system comes out. Then it eclipses us, you know. And Nintendo didn't hear anything of it. In fact, they threw the rumor right now is that Nintendo has delayed production to next year, beginning of next year, basically. And it's all behind rumors, but that's kind of the reporting that was coming out. And it was basically to combat scalpers and, you know, make sure there was enough product for the masses instead of announcing it, releasing it, and then not having enough. No one can get a hold of it, you know, on store shelves. So, you know, they've got a balancing act. They've got to be strategic about it. And I feel like that Sony was kind of making a play for, like, trying to get Nintendo to show their hand early. And Nintendo didn't relent.
No, they didn't. I want to go back. You said partner showcase stuff. We can talk about that real quick. You know, at that the week before that direct drop, it was all the Xbox talk, and Phil Spencer and them had to come out and talk about what their strategy was. Everyone said they're going third party. Really, they're not doing anything different than what they've been doing. I mean, they say they're still going to be doing a new system, and like, which I think is kind of stupid because their systems don't sell very well at all. Like, it's not just, they've had like two Wii U's in a row now. You realize that, right? It's not like, it was a one-time thing. Like, they stopped telling their numbers because they're embarrassing for their system. So, but they are like, we're testing out four games. And I do like the idea. I mean, look, I understand the idea. And as a Nintendo fanboy, I would never do the idea that I actually like. They're saying essentially, like, you know what? We look at games now as, like, once we feel like they've sold as much as they can for our base system, then we will port them to the systems we think that they would do the most well on.
Yeah.
And I think that's genius for them. I think that's actually smart, super smart. Like, you know, if Banjo-Kazooie ever gets a sequel or a remake, they'll be on Xbox first. And then it's like, okay, we're not selling anymore for this console or barely any. Let's port it to Nintendo.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's where the fan base is. And then, oh, I guarantee you it would outsell the Xbox version tremendously. And that's smart for them. They keep making money. On the flip side, I would be livid if Nintendo started porting Mario or Zelda or Metroid to Microsoft and Sony. Like, no. I believe that exclusivity is, like, selfish and wrong and bad for the toxic for the industry. I don't think so. I think that's what separates you from the competition. And I think Microsoft, I think they want to be just a brand. Like, I think they want their hands in everybody's pot a little bit, you know? Like, so if they put their stuff on Nintendo, if Nintendo doesn't put anything on theirs, fine. But they're at least putting their stuff and getting some money out of the Nintendo fan base. So essentially, like, are they third party? I feel like they are their own. I don't know. It does feel like they are a third party company already. Now that they're not holding all their stuff just for themselves and they're sharing with everybody, you know? So I like it. I like that idea. And mainly because I am not an Xbox lover. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, if you've known me since Xbox was birthed, I've hated them ever since. Now I don't hate them anymore. Especially since they've been humbled and they play nice with everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's cool. And we're getting a couple of Xbox games. I was in that partner direct.
yeah, that was funny.
I wish we were getting Sea of Thieves, but that's probably next Switch. Probably the next Switch.
Okay.
My personal opinion.
Yeah, I've personally subscribed to their
Game Pass.
Their Game Pass, yeah, for xCloud mainly. And I did the dollar trial or whatever, and I've got a couple months queued up. So I've mainly started up Halo, then left because I had something else that distracted me. Like, I can't sit down and game. Like, I always have to be moving, so I could take the Switch mm-hmm. with me and game wherever I am. Mm-hmm. But if I have to sit in front of a TV, like, I'm going to get called away for something. I'm going to get distracted. Yeah. I'm not going to get anywhere because I've started up Sea of Thieves 3 times now and gotten nowhere. I've started up Halo 3 times now and have gotten nowhere. Because I get called away from the TV and, you know, so, like, usually it's where I game on my Switch. I'm like, you know, this is a great deal, but it isn't for me. And I would love to have those Xbox games portable, you know, and to be able to play them and pick them up and play. Like, even if I'm on an internet connection, like, I can get an internet connection from anywhere, really. I just need to make sure that I, you know, update my Switch to the latest version and make sure I have all the stuff downloaded and I verified my account so I could play those things on the go, you know, but it's a small price to pay for the portability I can get. And if I hope Microsoft continues to play nicely with Nintendo, I like their kind of, you know, just have a presence on everything. That's great. Yep.
Well, from that partner showcase as well, we saw I think it was 4 Rare games that got ported.
Yeah.
And it's not like everyone wants the Rare Replay Collection. I don't think that's going to Nintendo. I think the deal, obviously, I think it's clear. The deal is just give us the original Nintendo version ports of these games, and we'll put them on our NOS, which I think is smart. I mean, would I like to physically own them? Absolutely, you know. But whatever, I will take it. I mean, we live in a time now where I don't worry about getting, like, the Rare games I want. To me, that just showed me. It just showed me that, like, the future's bright.
Yeah.
Like, they brought Killer Instinct for Super Nintendo, Blast Corps for N64. Yeah. They brought
the
RC Racing and the Snake Rattle and Roll for the NES.
Yeah.
So there's 4 games right there.
We had
and Battletoads Super Nintendo. So it's like all this told me was just a matter of time. Diddy Kong Racing will come. Banjo-Tooie will come. I would not be surprised if Conker's Bad Fur Day comes. All the Rare games that were made, I really believe, are just going to come. Mm-hmm. And if anything, with the partner showcase, first off, so it didn't really... There was nothing there that I was like, yeah, I got to get this. I'm so excited. Nothing blew my top off, okay? Yeah. And I didn't... They never usually do. But all it did with the whole Rare stuff and the partnering up with them, it just made me hopeful of, like...
Still healthy relationship they have, so...
Yeah, a future. And, like, they do recognize that they own Rare. Microsoft knows that they own Rare and that they work super well with Nintendo, and the Nintendo fans love them. They know that. Like, so... I think for future Rare projects...
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like... Work making Banjo-Kazooie again or whatever, or a Diddy Kong Racing sequel.
Please.
Finally, I know I'm just saying stuff right now, and some people are probably scoffing at me, but you know what? Like, I feel like, when the Switch launched, if I would have told you Banjo-Kazooie's in Smash, Rare's on Nintendo's online shop, like, no one would have believed me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're dreaming,
and
you know, and here we are.
I fully believe, like, the reason I want to get a Sony PlayStation is for, you know, Final Fantasy VII with the remake. And I feel like eventually we're going to get it on Nintendo.
I do too.
Eventually. This next generation, maybe later, but I'm going to get a chance to play it at some point because it's not strictly Sony, for one. It's Square Enix, so that helps.
Right.
I don't expect to ever get to play Spider-Man on Nintendo because it's, you know, Sony's baby. But or like Horizon, I don't expect to play Horizon on Nintendo. But like the only reason I want to get a PlayStation right now is for that Final Fantasy game. So there's hope that I'm going to get that on Nintendo. Is there like, am I missing out on anything not playing Halo on Xbox's ecosystem? No, not really. Am I missing out not playing, you know, Sea of Thieves? Not really. It's because I don't really have the time for it. But the things that I feel secure about, like coming to Switch eventually or to Nintendo just in general, eventually, I think it's possible. So I don't feel the need to get those other consoles. But if they're happy to come over and put their games on the Switch, I will be happy to play them. I will buy them. I will play them, you know,
like
100%. I'm really excited about that. I'm going to support that. Like I got the Ori games. I absolutely loved them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. I'm so glad that we got a chance to play those. And so, like, I'm still rallying for that stacking game to come to the Switch, but we'll see. Stacking is available on the Game Pass right now, and I'm like, I'm almost tempted to play it, but I'm like, you know, this would be so much better on the go. So I'm holding out on that, and who knows, I might return to Game Pass, but I'm glad that I've got what I have on the Switch, and I really hope that Nintendo's future is carrying the legacy of the Switch forward, where you can play all those games. You know, I've got backlog still that I need to get through on Switch. I'd like to get through it on a better system. That would be great. You know, faster loading times or whatever it has. And then, like, I'm wanting to try the new stuff and see what Nintendo can do with the new tech and everything. So,
absolutely. You know, hopping over from Directs, you know, we did have the Pokemon presentation, like, presents the next week. And it was very short and it was very lame. They talked about a bunch of mobile apps that really no one cares about from the wider gaming fan base era. Yes, the Pokemon trading card digital game was announced, and yeah, I did like that. It made me nostalgic for the card game again, and I think that is something that I will look into that. Honestly, I really do think I would play that and collect the cards through that, and because it does the thing, it makes the thing about Pokemon. The card game, it makes it easier. That is the hardest part for me. And I was always battling. Didn't really know how to battle. And it's just a setup. You got to bring all your cards. You got to bring the dice and these little, you know, I don't know, punch out circles now. And you got to put out your board. Like, it's a lot. And, you know, and Ryan, you're used to doing that stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, but for me, you know, like, it's a hassle to do all that. And I became more of a collector over the years and just like collect them. But I think this is cool. And I think it would be fun and simple and clean to play.
Yeah.
So definitely am excited about that. And then the big announcement was like, you know, the game that they got coming where they really didn't show any footage, but they said it's coming 2025 and that's the next Pokemon. What?
ZA. Legend ZA.
Legend ZA. So, you know, I don't know if I'll get the game. I may. I'll definitely need to see way more on it. What I want from Pokemon moving forward, Ryan, is I want it to stop looking like a boring, cheap cardboard cutout of a game. And like Pokemon has skimped by for years now. Mm-hmm. And that's been people complain with every generation. And like, I want the characters to have life. When I play Final Fantasy VII, they all have expressions. They're all like moving. They look real, like real freaking people.
Yeah.
I want Pokemon. I'm not saying Pokemon has to be like realistic. I'm just saying I want the characters. This should feel like an animation cartoon that I'm playing. And I mean like actually move and talk. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I want facial expressions. I want, for Pete's sakes, put some voice acting in Pokemon. You're the biggest franchise in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put voice acting in your video games. You should be doing that. Like that should be a staple in your game.
Yeah.
And then I think the gameplay needs to pick up. If it's more of an action-y RPG style game, I would 1000% get it.
Yeah. Legends is a step in the right direction. You know, and because we're getting another Legends game that's actually revisiting the Z version that we never got, and actually giving Zygarde his proper story, there was a rumor a long time ago that people were saying that they were going to go back and do Z version. And I'm glad that that ended up becoming true, with that, whatever ZA is, you know, and it was like X and Y axis was this, you know, it was the evolution of Pokemon into a 3D space. And so like, what does the Z to A have for us? And, it's really cool. They're doing that. I don't expect it to be anything greater than Legends or what we have in Scarlet and Violet. I don't expect it to be greater than that graphically. I'm not expecting that this generation. I'm not expecting voice acting, though it would be really nice. But I expect it in the next iteration to see those upgrades start happening instead of getting the same thing, you know? And again, they have till 2025 to get all that cranked out. And we may get another Gen 4 version this year. If another studio is working on it, we might get that announced later this year. But, you know, similar how they did, Gen 5, Black and White, mm-hmm. Similar how they did Gen 4 release for, you know, they outsourced that. We might get that this year. Who knows? Maybe we'll get another Pokemon Snap. Probably not. But, you know, whatever Pokemon mm-hmm. has, like, I'm glad they're taking.
I love a Pokemon Snap 3.
I hope they take a year off. I do.
You
know, skip a year. And if they don't have the big revenue come in, that. But it gives them time to reset and redo their business model because they've got all of their things so finely tuned. Like, here's when the anime comes out. Here's when the figures come out. Here's when the plushies come out. Here's when, you know, the shows come to streaming. Here's when they come to own physical media, you know, in the Pokemon card game and everything, like it's all just finely tuned. And I'd like to see them break out of that cycle and give more attention to their games, which are one of their biggest drivers.
That's the biggest driver,
especially with the partnership with Nintendo. Like that's where Nintendo's interest is, because they're probably not making a lot of money off of the merchandise sales and stuff.
No, not at all.
No,
I mean, when Pokemon Go
all going to the Pokemon company, but you know, Nintendo has an interest in their games being good, and I think it's going to hurt their image. Not that Pokemon's ever going to sell terribly, but I think that they do this, they pull the same stuff for too long, which people are going to drop off. Like Traven, was diehard, you know, Pokemon fan, and he is not buying them anymore unless he gets like on a super deal or something, because of how much they have not evolved. For a company that's all about like evolving Pokemon and you know, doing new innovations on how you can, you know, play with your Pokemon and treat your Pokemon and everything, like they're not doing that themselves. They're not evolving. They're not becoming next gen. Like they're not growing. Like eventually it's going to be the point, like someone goes to play a Pokemon game, like these graphics are terrible, for the standard, and this is like grandpa graphics. Like, I'm not going to play this game. And then they're just going to lose their kid fan base, you know?
Yeah, which would be sad.
I mean, they've got the cute factor, but at some point...
Well, you have the, you know, you talk about, you know, economics, you know, things about... We talk about substitutes all the time in competition and you know, Pow World. You know, that's a great example. We have all the Pow World talk that came out within the past month or so. And everyone talked about how much pretty much looks like Pokemon, basically ripped off some straight off designs. But you know what? I mean, not that I'm for, you know, whatever, copying them. I don't like that. I don't. I think that's lazy and terrible. But what I do will say is like, the reason Pokemon does what it is because they have no competition. They need competition.
Yeah.
They need somebody to come up and challenge them in the same exact field. We're like, you know, like back when we were kids, it was what? What was the competition, Ryan? What was it?
Digimon, Pokemon.
Pokemon like, versus Digimon.
That was...
Oh, you like Digimon? Oh, how lame. Oh, no, you like Pokemon? That's stupid. Agumon is way better. The evolutions in Digimon are what they're, you know, Digimon has just like kind of gone off then and had done like, its own thing.
You had like Monster Rancher and those other ones that people had fans of that thought those were the better ones, you know.
You just need strong competition. And I'm not saying Pow World's ever going to do that, but, you know, again, it makes me smile. You know what? Pow World looks a million times better. And this is a company, not even a fraction of the size of the Pokemon company. And they're making a game that looks tremendously better aesthetically than their games. And that should make them mad. Like they should not want to be surpassed. And I think they're taking notes. I would like to think that they're taking notes and are taking this seriously. You know, that's what I said. That's what I want. I want life. I want to look at a Pokemon game and not be bored. Mm-hmm. I watched their trailers and I'm like, this is boring. I mean, even that trailer they did to introduce the legends, like I thought the intro music was like, this is super boring. You know, give me some action. Don't give me this boring music in the background. I don't know. Just Pokemon needs to step up their game. And, you know, we're not saying anything others aren't. But that, you know, that's what I want to see. And I think that on Switch 2, that can move. I think that can happen. So this game... that we've talked a lot about, you know, Legends 2 is coming out in 2025. I think, you know, we've talked about when we thought the Switch 2 would come. A small part of me still thinks that we could get it this year. Because at the end of the day, you know, the Switch rumors are just rumors. No one knows.
Yeah.
Nintendo has not said anything. It could still come out holiday launch. It could come out this summer for all we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the original rumor was that there was, you know, there's going to be a partner direct in February, not a traditional Nintendo direct, which happened. And then Nintendo is going to take March and they were going to announce the Switch 2 and show it off. That could still happen, I guess. You know, the first part came true. Who knows? Regardless, I mean, honestly, I've actually sold myself into thinking it would be better for me personally financially if it came out next year because... if it comes out, if they do the March thing, like people are thinking they will.
Tax season. Well,
it's tax season. I know what my Christmas is going to be. My Christmas is going to be, give me Switch money, and I'm going to use all my Christmas money to buy all my Switch stuff.
Yeah.
Switch 2 stuff. That's what it's going to be. And I'm actually okay with that. I'm like, that actually works out instead of me having to figure out and trying to convince my wife why I need, you know, $500 to go spend on some new games, a new pro controller and a new system and a case and all that stuff, you know? So I'm actually more in favor of this, of it being in March of next year.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to be sad if it's not, but, you know, we'll see.
Certainly in favor of it becoming readily available instead of being hard to find. We don't want another Wii situation.
Right. No, absolutely. I don't want to have to worry about, you know, just, I don't want to feel like when they announced it, that like, if I don't pre-order it this day, I'm not getting one for a long time. I feel like that would be the case. Again, who knows? I mean, I do kind of find it weird that like, it would be pushed back so far into a year if, like, people had been developing stuff for this and if they had already been producing it. But who knows? Like I said, it's all rumors. We could be completely wrong. It may not even come out next year. Who knows? But, well, Ryan, we said we were going to do a short episode. It's been almost an hour. I guess we got, you know, when we get talking, we get talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, you know, we should just go ahead. Unless you got anything else to add, I mean, I think this is the state of gaming. I think Nintendo has a lot up their sleeves. I think Nintendo's kind of, instead of taking the bait, like you said, from PlayStation, I really feel like Nintendo is just watching it. They're just, like you said, they're putting their cards close to their chest. And maybe they were going to announce the Switch 2, if the rumors add up. And they were, and then they saw what Xbox said. And then they saw what PlayStation reported and said. And then now they're kind of like, I think they're just watching how everything plays out before they make their strike. And, yeah, you know, that's not necessarily a bad idea. If I, you know, what I want Nintendo to do more than anything is I want them to avoid another Wii U. Their history shows they will have a Switch Wii success generation, and then they have a Wii U generation or a GameCube generation. Unfortunately, even though the GameCube is like reviewed highly amazing by so many now, back then it was considered a failure. It was only like 23 million units or something like that.
Depending on the economy and depending on money flow, you know, being able to spend excess, I think that the Switch is positioned well. A new version of the Switch, a new iteration, the next gen for Nintendo, I think it's got a lot of potential, especially if there's nothing around it. Like, there's not a new Xbox coming, there's not a new PlayStation coming. Like, people haven't had a new console for a while, unless they've been trying to get, like, the older, you know, PS5. And with PlayStation saying that the PS5 is on its way out, like, that gets people paused. Like, should I buy this system now, or should I just wait for the next new system, which is going to be Nintendo? So, like, it's an opportunity to be, like, a big leap. And I think that we may not see, like, the same install base right away that Switch has, but I think that we'll see boosted numbers from just people wanting to get the newest thing, because that's, you know, it's what's fresh, what's new, what's hot on the market. And hopefully it'll have that same appeal that Switch does, and we'll still get that same support from third party devs, and you know, it'll just continue rolling and going. Like, do I want to see Nintendo Switch, you know, outpace the PlayStation 2? Sure. It's really close.
Absolutely.
It's like 15 million or something like that. Like, or something.
I think it will.
Like, it's so close. Like, they'd have to have some real bangers this year to do that. But, you know, I'd like to see the Switch do that, but not at the expense of Nintendo missing this opportunity to release the new latest system when things are at a good place right now.
Right. I think it would be, I really want to see the PS2 finally dethroned. It would be freaking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but regardless, whatever's best for Nintendo in the long run. Well, that's all I got to say. Last thing is, I like Nintendo's been like tweeting about like Mario Day, and they were like even tweeted about Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. And I thought that was cool. And gosh, it really makes me want, like, I really wish they would just like remake the land games with like a unique art style, like Link's Awakening. Give me like a claymation Mario version of a game. Like, it would be so cool and fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're simple. Remake them for a modern audience. I think
that would be cool. It would have to be more than just the one game, unless they really like a remake, a true remake, you know.
Yes. But Mario Land 1 and Mario Land 2. Do it. Boom.
Yeah.
And then start bringing back Wario Link.
Yeah. But especially.
Well, Mario Land 3 was Wario.
Yep.
Wario's, you know, that's how it was. So I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Come back. Well, tell everybody where they can find us and go from there.
Sure thing, man. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, and you can also find us on YouTube Music at Nintendo NOSIN. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and Pandora Podcasts as well. You can also find our Facebook page at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok at Nintendo _NOS, X Twitter at Nintendo _NOS, Instagram Nintendo NOSIN. Shoot us an email at NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. Call the Nostalgia Hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, and we will catch you next week. Later, Preston.
Have a good one. Bye.